Welcome to the Multiply Podcast. I'm Carla Brown of the MB Herald, and with me is...
I'm Carson Sampson from Mennonite Brethren Church of Manitoba. Wow, that was harder than I thought.
See, we've switched the roles here, and suddenly we're in new territory.
We're in familiar territory this episode. Last episode, we further explored the subject of dying that began in the July-August issue of the Herald. We had a great conversation with Paul Dirksen of CMU and Wanda Dirksen, chaplain at Donwood Manor, on suffering and mutual dependence. If you haven't listened to that episode already, I recommend you just hit pause on this one and head over there, have a listen. Now that you're up to speed, we're going to continue the conversation with Evelyn Laboon. Evelyn is a doctor of nursing science with a long career in teaching. Evelyn also serves on the board of Eden Healthcare Services, an organization rooted in Anabaptist Mennonite values that provides a range of services to empower persons with mental health needs. Evelyn, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
Evelyn, we're talking about how the new medical assistance in dying affects people of faith and how our Anabaptist values shape our perspective. From your perspective as a former registered nurse and teacher of nurses, how does the legislation affect the way nurses are trained?
Well, for one thing, they'll have to learn about MAID and they'll have to make some decisions about their position on MAID. Unless they follow the common thought and say, well, of course, it's part of our course, and so we will enter into it because we're dedicated to our profession. But I think in some ways it's like abortion was a number of years ago. People had to make decisions, and they did. And we have a provision for opting out for individuals, at least, professionals who would be involved in those kinds of activities. So we have that provision that we can opt out. That's a decision that will have to be made by each individual, and they'll have to communicate that to their supervisors. And when they take employment, it's another issue that they'll have to face.
So 100 years ago, conscientious objection was much more of a live subject for Mennonites, for people of Anabaptist perspective, than it is now. We think of it as being something in our convictions, but it's not really relevant for a lot of people's day-to-day lives. I wonder if perhaps the medical field is the new place where the church needs to help people understand conscientious objection and give people tools for, as a doctor, as a nurse, how do they become conscientious objectors to something like MAID? Would that be an accurate question?
I think so. Yeah, I think so. I have a colleague, actually. She teaches nursing here in Manitoba, and she told me MAID was performed on the ward where she takes students recently, and she is an Anabaptist. She's a Mennonite from my church, and she was very upset about the whole thing. And I think it was a shock to her, actually, that it happened and that she was so close to it, and that it's quite possible that her students looked after this person.
At the Mennonite Healthcare Association conference in Steinbach in fall, which I know you were at, there was some talk about how when people talk about MAID, they talk about the person who's affected, and they may talk about the impact on the family, but people aren't necessarily talking about the impact on the caregivers when someone makes that choice for what they are going to do with their life and death, that caregivers are also affected. What kind of supports do you think that nurses, for example, might need to help deal with the impact of these new choices they have to make?
I think that they need to be able to talk about it to somebody that has some experience. Hopefully their teachers, if they're students. Hopefully their supervisors, if they're practicing already. Hopefully the chaplain at the hospital, and hopefully their church members. One of the things that I find is that people in particular professions don't necessarily get together and talk about these things. So in the church, it's a fairly generic conversation, and the particular challenges that are faced by professionals in certain professions are not really discussed ever, which is one of the reasons that I have always valued Nurses Christian Fellowship, because those are people, when I talk to them, they understand what I'm talking about, have had the same experiences, and have struggled with those issues. It would be good to have churches more involved and maybe even groups get together. The general church person also has to face that, because society has to face it. But it's not an easy thing for them to do, and often doesn't happen.
Could you share a little bit more about Nurses Christian Fellowship?
Yes, Nurses Christian Fellowship. Yeah. It's an organization used to be under the umbrella of InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, and is now independent of them. It's international. It's across Canada and the U.S. and other countries around the world. They come together to talk about their faith, to strengthen each other, to support each other in their faith, to reach out to nurses with the love of Christ, and to help students to navigate some of the issues that they might have to navigate, not just issues of faith related to the profession, but also personal issues maybe, issues of hours. Nurses work all hours, and so they are often isolated from friends and family. So it's both a support group, an outreach group, and a Christian witness in the health field.
Now, if we were to turn our focus to the role of palliative care, how might that be relevant in the discussion around AID?
Palliative care is very important. Mm-hmm. It's an option that patients and families can choose, especially if they don't want to go with MAID. Palliative care does not have sufficient beds, etc., in Manitoba. For example, St. Boniface and I believe Riverview are the only places with palliative care. So what does that leave in the country? I don't know if there are many beds in the rural areas.
I believe Grace Hospital also, with the Grace Hospice. Is that not a palliative care center? Is that another option?
Possibly, yeah. But I don't know about it. Mm-hmm. I do know about Riverview and St. Boniface. I think that often the whole idea of pain medication is not as well understood at the end stages of life, and palliative care people understand that. I've been visiting friends of mine in palliative care, and it's a very peaceful, quiet place. There's not a lot of medical equipment around. People can have visitors. So it's a place where you can think, if you are able to, family can come, you can just have a peaceful death rather than all the equipment and everything around you, and have pain medication that's understood by the staff that work there.
In our previous podcast, Paul Dirksen talked about our ambivalence about saving life at all costs or stopping it as early as possible. Somehow we like both those options. And I think this ties into your discussion of palliative care. Medically, is dying quite as clear as we think it is? There seems to be a lot of confusion about it, and I wonder if that's for good reason. Can you help us understand perhaps what is the difference between choosing MAID and choosing palliative care? There would be some who would say, well, palliative care is also assisted death. So how does that differ from the assistance in dying that's offered by MAID?
MAID is a clear decision by the person, and there are possibilities of opting out right till the end. But it's a clear decision by the person that they want to die, and the provisions for that death are clearly outlined in terms of medication and dosage and the team and so on. Palliative care is not killing, as I've just described it. We'll put it very bluntly. It is assisting the person to a peaceful end when their time is there. So I think that's how I would see it anyway. I do know of a situation, for example, my brother died when he was 39 of a painful cancer illness. And I remember visiting him. He was gasping for air. It was painful for me to see. And he said, "It's going to happen now." And that was, he knew he was going to be dying. I went home, and 20 minutes later, the hospital phoned to say that he had passed on. And I thought to myself, they've given him morphine, and it has depressed his breathing. And I thought about that a lot. So, you know, what is that? When do you know when to give the medication and so on? I was contemplating the whole idea of MAID, I came across an article on unintended consequences as described in a Catholic publication. And I said to myself, the nurses gave my brother pain medication, morphine probably, to take away his just thrashing in bed and pain and so on, gasping for air. And the unintended consequences were that his breathing was depressed, but he had a more peaceful death. And I don't see that as MAID. It's unintended consequences. But the purpose is to take away pain.
So it's not impossible to assist a person in death. That is one of the things that happens in palliative care that nurses do. But there's a difference between assisting in that manner through pain reduction and creating a more peaceful environment and the intentionality of something like MAID.
Yes, I would say very definitely. Because probably most nurses who are caring for dying people have given pain medication and there were unintended consequences.
Well, thank you, Evelyn, for that, for your help with some of the medical understanding of what's going on with these issues. We want to turn now to your perspective as a board member with EDEN, which is an organization that provides programming and support for people with mental health challenges. So why might this legislation be of concern for EDEN?
EDEN is an organization sponsored by the Mennonite community in Manitoba. And it has for a long time looked at caring for people with mental health issues and looking at recovery of mental health. So we're always looking at how can we help the person to recover.
EDEN actually has a counseling service called Recovery of Hope, don't they?
That's right. They do, yeah. And so all of our services are geared towards looking at how to help people to recover. To think about MAID, when I, as chair of the board, I thought, well, this is an exact opposite to recovery. So how do we reconcile this with ourselves and with our community and so on? And so we talked about it a long time at the board level and decided to write a letter, even though probably we wouldn't be doing any MAID at EDEN because it's a mental health facility. And although people want to die in some cases, commit suicide, in other words, and we don't care for people with physical illness in the same way that hospitals and nursing homes do, we still thought that we would put forward a position. And we talked a lot about dignity of life and respect for life and so on. And as I thought about it, I thought, there isn't a lot of dignity in dying somehow. It's just an awful thing. It's very final. There's often painful, unfinished business and so on. And we do our best at Eden to help people not to die if they're trying to commit suicide or feel really like there's no point in living. So I thought about dignity in dying is somehow maybe not quite meeting what I think is really the important thing. And I thought about respect for life. God gives us life. God takes away life. Or at least our bodies are such, and God does not restore them. Maybe that's a better way of putting that. So although I did, in our letter to the government on our position, talk about dignity for life from birth to the natural end of life, I also included respect for life as one of the main points of why we could not be involved with MAID. God, we are under God's provision, and the way we think about life and so on has to do with serving God and serving Him as not just individuals, but families and community. As Anabaptists, we really feel the strength of the community and the help of the community, and certainly Eden has experienced that. So I think for all of us to have respect for life and respect for what God has given us is where I would really come down on that issue.
Mm-hmm. Both Paul and Wanda talked, or Paul particularly talked about mutual dependence, and they talked about the importance and the blessing of that it is that we can care for each other as we have... Yeah, as we respect life, we need to come around each other as communities so that we're not alone in these difficult moments.
Yes, that's right. I would agree with that. And we live in a very individualistic society, maybe not quite as individualistic as the U.S., but still Canadians are individualistic. And so we need to learn how to do community and how to surround each other with the love and care that a community can provide. And in that respect, I read a book by Jerome Sawatzky, former professor at Canadian Mennonite University, and he has a very chronic disease which will end in what I've seen as a terrible death, I would say. And he's written a book on Dancing with Elephants, Mindfulness Training for Those Living with Dementia, Chronic Illness, or an Aging Brain. And I found his book very helpful. And one of the things he talks about is the community around you and how important that is to be able to support the person who's ill, the family who's experiencing that, and also the community who will mourn their death.
In the article in the MB Herald, Sharon Simpson, who works at Menno Place in Abbotsford, a care home, she concluded her article with an invitation to the reader, to and which we're extending to our listeners, to consider how your church, your time, your ministry, your heart, and your resources can contribute to the unique and vital ministry of end-of-life care. So, Evelyn, how would you respond to this invitation, or how would you extend this invitation to our listeners, to people in our churches? How can they get involved?
I would certainly extend the invitation to have a discussion about that. It affects the church, it affects the community, it affects our society. And I used to lead the adult Sunday school at my church, and we had a session on MAID, what it is, and we had a Christian physician come and speak with us about it and raise questions and so on. And we had a very good discussion. It would be really good to have churches discuss this, because we can, downplay the awfulness of MAID, for example. We can say it's a terrible thing. But as I raised the question in that class, has anybody there in that class seen a terrible death? And one of the class members reflected on that later on. He said he had experienced a terrible death, and he remembered the question that I had raised. And those are questions that we have to ask, because people do experience terrible deaths sometimes. And so what is the Christian message in that regard? Are we going to say, no, MAID is not a good thing, it's not right, it's not morally right, etc., and condemn people if they choose that? Or are we going to show God's love and care and think about why that might have happened, and how we can just talk about our own perspective on it and God's love for us in all situations.
And that respect for life.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. Thank you very much for sharing, Evelyn. It's been really great to learn from you, hear your wisdom, hear your gentle encouragement, and your book recommendation as well. That was Dancing with Elephants by Jerem Sawatsky. If people are interested in looking at that, and we'll include that in our show notes. You'll see some links included there. So thank you very much, Evelyn, for being with us.
Thanks so much, Evelyn, for coming out and adding your voice to Wanda's and to Paul's. Now that we've gotten those three perspectives, we welcome the perspective of our listeners. We want to hear what you have to say. And as Carla mentioned, we'll put as many links as we can in their show notes to the articles mentioned in the July-August Herald. And we'll put a link to the to Mr. Sawatsky's book. And on those articles, you can leave a comment. Or you can reach out to us directly if you want to reach the editor of the Herald. I believe the email address is mbherald@mbchurches.ca.
That's correct.
Please be in touch and lend your voice to the conversation. Lastly, I would just say that we're also grateful to the fine folks at Bread We Break who supply our theme music for today's episode. The song is Come Morning, and you can get that off of their self-titled EP. If you're new to listening to the podcast and you want to subscribe, you can find us on SoundCloud, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, and we also have a YouTube channel, so please subscribe. The Multiply Podcast is brought to you by Mennonite Brethren Church of Manitoba, MB Mission, and MB Herald. I'm Carson Sampson.
And I'm Carla Brown.
But you fill my ears with melody as the sun breaks the night, the sun breaks the night.